We are today going to look at the fourth I am statement that Jesus makes in the book of John. As a really quick recap, first week, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Remember that? It's been a while ago. I'm very proud of you. Second week, I am the light of the world. So good. Not my sermon, but Jesus. Third one, I am, and Pastor Tosh spoke about this, I am the gate. Today, we get to the fourth I am statement. Pastor Tosh alluded to it last week. I am the good shepherd. Oh, this might be one of my favorites. I don't know. I say that every week, so who's to say? I am the good shepherd. And honestly, I got to be honest with you people. I thought this week would be a super easy sermon to come up with. I'm like, oh, this will be a piece of cake. I'm the good shepherd. I could talk for hours on it. And I could, but I won't. But there's so much in this. I was like, okay, God, where do you want it to go? The outline on Tuesday was nothing you would want to be involved in this morning, let me tell you. It looked more like spaghetti everywhere. Nothing I could put together. So many places I could go with this, so many paths to take, so I really had to have some conversation with God and streamline my thoughts about what we want, what he wanted to teach us this morning, what we need to learn today from this. So let's start. I think a good place to start is let's read the scripture together. That'll help get me focused in as well as I speak to you this morning. So we're in John 10. Do I have it up? Yeah, I do. Good. Look at that. John 10, 11 through 18. It is right after Pastor Tasha's scripture of last week, which was 10, 1 through 10. Here we go. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down. I've got to underline. Hold on a second. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, Jesus says again. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And again, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I, again, lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. There's our scripture today. Jesus, I am statements, a couple. I am the good shepherd. As I said before, this passage is right after Pastor Tosh spoke of the scriptures Pastor Tosh spoke on last week, where Jesus, she explained, is the gate. Some translations even say Jesus is the door that goes into the sheepfold, as she explained. She did an awesome job, right? Yeah. Of explaining, and I love the visual too, of the shepherd being the gate, being the door. The actual gate to be passed through to protect and care for the sheep. We learned last week that Jesus is the point of access to God, didn't we, for his flock. And that through him, through that gate, we get life. Not just life, but as the scripture says, life to the fullest. Life to the full. The only other way to get to the sheep was over the wall. Remember she explained that and you saw the picture over the wall. But the sheep know, uh-oh, that's not the shepherd, because the shepherd comes through the gate, through the door, through the opening. So they would know, the sheep would know that that's not the shepherd, but instead it's a predator or a thief. And the thief comes, as we heard, to seek, kill, and destroy. So Jesus then continues on with this analogy, using sheep and shepherds, into verse 11. And I'm not surprised that he uses sheep and shepherding. Pastor Tosh kind of touched base on this, but I'll reiterate it and say it again. Sheep and shepherding was nothing new to the culture at the time. It was something embedded in their daily lives. In fact, when you look at scripture even, sheep and shepherding is mentioned hundreds of times throughout the Bible. Hundreds. And depending on your translation, I got numbers like 247, 300, and even 500 times. I did not have time to read all the translations of the Bible and pick out the times to see about the accuracy. The point is, hundreds of times we see sheep and shepherding mentioned. We see it in Genesis, and we see it in Revelation. If you know this book, that's the beginning and the end of it, and all throughout. The people Jesus is speaking to, the Pharisees and others that were around, would have known about sheep, shepherding, and they would have known about the Old Testament scriptures that reference that. What's the first Old Testament scripture you guys think of when you think of sheep? The Lord. There you go, the Lord's my shepherd. 23rd Psalm, they would have known that. And there's many other psalms that reference sheep and shepherding. There's also references in Isaiah they would have known. Like, for example, 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Scriptures in other prophets like Ezekiel and Zechariah. I think you get my point here. They would have known, both in the culture, what sheep and shepherding is, and also through scripture, what it's in reference to. They would have understood the analogy. So, not surprised Jesus decides to say, hey, yo, peeps, I'm the good shepherd. That's Jamie's version of the Bible. It'd be like someone coming to me today and giving me an analogy using basketball, for example. I'm going to get it. Whatever you love and you're involved in all the time, that's what this sheep and shepherding thing's all about. So we know they understood. In a much deeper way, I'll say, than what we understand today, honestly. Anybody been around a sheep before? Raise your hand if you've touched an actual sheep. Okay, a few of you, maybe half of you or so. They're lovely, aren't they? Oh, they're cute, but man, do they stink. But anyway, in Jesus' time, everybody would have known. The whole entire place would have raised their hand. Yeah, we get it. We get it, Jesus, sheep and shepherding. All right. So as I took a look at this scripture that I just read to you, I broke it down into three different chunks of what we can learn about when Jesus makes the statement referencing sheep, referencing him being the shepherd, and him making this beautiful statement, I am the good shepherd. So let's take the first chunk, shall we? It's always good to do that. The first chunk is verses 11, 12, and 13. And I'm going to read it again. The words of Jesus. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock, then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand, and he cares nothing for the sheep. What do we know about the good shepherd in these few verses? Jesus states that as the good shepherd, he cares deeply for his sheep. A care and a love so deep that he would lay down his life for the sheep. Jesus states the opposite of the good shepherd is the hired hand. He says that, I think, in verse 12, right? The hired hand, they're just there because they're hired and they're doing it for a paycheck. It's just their job. It's clear he's talking about the Pharisees, which is a way I could have gone with leadership here down this. I could have gone down this way for this sermon. But he's clearly talking to the leaders, the Pharisees, who are acting as hired hands. They're just doing their job. They're not fully caring deeply and loving their flock. Jesus points out that at the sign of danger, the hired hand runs for safety for himself, and his only concern is just that, himself. That's it. A hired hand is more concerned about the wages than the welfare of the flock. Interestingly enough, as I was doing research, I found out that shepherds of ancient times were not usually the owners of the flock, but they were expected nonetheless to exercise the same care and concern that their owners would. Act as if you own these sheep. And if you were a good shepherd in Jesus' time, the characteristic of a true and good shepherd is someone who's going to give their life up for those sheep. However, some hirelings, as I've said before, they only worried about themselves. And as a result, when a wolf appeared, which the wolf was like the main predator in Jesus' time to these sheep, the hireling would abandon the flock, get out of there, leaving the sheep to be scattered. And once the sheep is scattered, boy, they're vulnerable and they're more than likely going to meet their end. Jesus is not that shepherd. Jesus states he is the good shepherd who cares for his flock, who tends to the flock, and who will, if need be, willingly give up his life for the flock. And we know that that's exactly what Jesus did, don't we? Jesus isn't doing this because it's his job. He is a loving Savior who is willing to give, was willing, and did give his life for our well-being. He allows his unconditional love for us to be his driving force to tending his flock. His amazing love. Not only does the good shepherd give his life for the flock, but I want to emphasize again the willingness of the shepherd to do so. In Jesus' times, if a shepherd died on the job, more than likely it was an accident that was going to happen to do that. Jesus' dying was no accident as the good shepherd, was it? It was intentional. He was willing. Jesus' life wasn't taken, but it was willingly given by him for our benefit. Wow. Mind blown, good shepherd. The goodest of good shepherds, right? If goodest is a word, I don't know. Eunice, is goodest a word? It's probably not a word, is it? Yeah, exactly. It is now. The shepherd, the good shepherd, willingly lays down his life for his sheep. That's what we can learn from the first three verses of this, which is enough for me, but there's more. What? Yes, there's more. I know. The second chunk is verses 14, 15, and 16. And I'm going to read that again. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are also not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. I'm not going to preach on this, but I want to say that's us. That's Gentiles, non-Jewish people. That's who Jesus is talking about. He's saying he came, he laid down his life, he knows, and he loves all of us. No one's excluded. All right, where was I? I have other sheep, but they are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Oh, I love that. Okay. This part, the good shepherd knows his sheep and his sheep know him. Such a personal and intimate portrayal of our good shepherd and his love for us. He knows each of us intimately, deeply. And then he says, and we know him too. He parallels how he knows us and we know him to how he knows the Father and the Father knows him. Do you think Jesus and the Father, God, know each other pretty well, intimately? That's the same thing he's saying, that we know him and he knows us. Wow, right? It's deeply personal. It's deeply intimate. Think of a person on this earth that knows you, like really knows you, like really, underlined a lot of times, like really, really knows you. It could be a parent, a spouse, a friend you've had forever, maybe a sibling. They really know you, right? You got that person in mind? Jesus knows you a million times more than that person knows you. Jesus knows you intimately, even more than you know yourself. Jesus knows who you are, your character, your past. He knows everything about you. He's our good shepherd who knows us, can lead us because he knows us. He knows what we need. What's even more marvelous to me is that Jesus knows us, all of it, the worst of it, the best of it too, but the worst of it, and still loves us so much and is willing to die for us and lay down his life for us. Do you get the in-depth, amazing love that he has for you? We have a good shepherd who knows us inside and out, the good, the bad, and the ugly, intimately, thoroughly. And once again, I'm going to reiterate that he is driven by his love for us, his passion for us. He created us. He made us. He loves us that much. It's hard for our human little bitty brains to imagine that, but try to, please. The good shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him. I know for me, 10 years I knew Jesus. I know him a little bit more now, right? We should be growing in that of knowing him. But when Jesus speaks to you, know him. We know him. And he knows us. Made me feel so loved as I was sitting in my office. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Then the last part. Verses 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, we talk about willingness, but I lay it down on my own accord. I think some versions, I was told on Friday, say voluntarily. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So what do we learn in that last chunk? My main emphasis is the good shepherd takes his life back again. Now, I've read this scripture a million times. Well, maybe not a million. A lot. I heard it growing up. Anybody heard this scripture before? Okay, thank you. And this week as I was studying, I kept getting hung up on that phrase. I take my life back again. I'm like, what does that mean? I'm sitting in, you guys would laugh at me. Sometimes I'm like, what? I don't get it. What on earth, Jesus, are you talking about when you say that you take your life back again? So I did some studying. I did some researching. I did a lot of praying. And here's my synopsis of this and what this means, if you guys are interested. Anybody? Okay, good. Well, you're all still with me. Okay. Jesus, as the good shepherd, lays his life down for us. We understand that. We've gone over that in point one of this. But the story doesn't end with him just giving his life up for us, does it? The completion of the story is his resurrection. The full story is his death, and which he says, laying down his life, and the resurrection. Him picking his life back up again. He had authority to do both of those things. And we need both of those things, right? The story doesn't end on Good Friday, right? We get together and we have Easter. Yay! The resurrection happens, right? That's like the best part. His role as our good shepherd is in death. He defeats it and he then wins with the resurrection, taking his life back up again. Jesus has power. He says he's got the authority over life and death, which completes everything that we've talked about in this whole chapter, back from Pastor Tosh all the way to what I'm speaking about today. It connects all the dots for me, and my mind was blown. It was so blown, I had to talk to Pastor Joyce about it on Friday. I'm like, hey, what do you think about this? Let me tell you. Pastor Tosh last week was on the gate, right? The way to eternal life and life to the fullest is through Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who died for us, who knows us and loves us so much. And then what happens? He resurrected too. It completes the cycle. It connects all the dots. He's the Good Shepherd that gives us everything that we need. My mind was blown. I'm like, oh, that's what that means. I get, and I've heard a million times, that the Good Shepherd lays his life down for me. But man, how awesome is it that that Good Shepherd also resurrected and defeated death so I can be resurrected. That's not the end for me or any of you, right? Because of what Jesus did. He resurrected, and now we have the resurrection too. Amazing. I was totally nerding out on Jesus. I'm coining that phrase. I think I need to copyright that. Nerding out on Jesus. All right, so why do we need to know all this stuff about the Good Shepherd? It's great. Jesus is a Good Shepherd. Well, it goes without saying, I think you kind of have understood throughout my couple points here, that if Jesus is the Good Shepherd, what are we? We're the sheep. And I really want to iterate something about this that's not necessarily a big compliment, that we are the sheep, okay? Let me tell you about sheep, just a smidgen, not much. They're stubborn. Totally vulnerable. Easily influenced by a crowd. Let's be honest, sheep, real sheep, need lead, don't they? We're Jesus' sheep. Do we need lead or what? Yeah. Sheep can literally die. We learned this when we were reading, we did that Bible study on the 23rd Psalm, a shepherd's take on the 23rd Psalm. Sheep can literally die when they roll over on their back. They can't figure out how to roll over on their feet. So they're like, and the shepherd has to literally come over and be like, and tip them back over. Now, I'm not saying sheep are dumb. But let's just say they don't problem solve very well. Let's just say that. And that could be us, right? We need help and support at sometime, maybe here, there, all times, so we don't do harm to ourselves. And Jesus is our Good Shepherd that helps us do that. We need a shepherd, and we don't have just a shepherd. We have the Good Shepherd, people. Allow yourselves today to be led. I'm going to say that again. Allow yourselves today to be led. If you are someone, an individual in here who's independent, nobody's like that, I don't know. Maybe this is just for me, I don't know. Who's independent and tends to gravitate toward leading your own self, listen, little sheep. It's time to understand and take advantage of this. That we have a good shepherd who knows us, loves us intimately, would lay down his life for us, and yet also he resurrected for us. Why wouldn't we take advantage of that? Yes, please. Yes, please. Allow yourself to be led. Jesus isn't doing this because it's his job as our good shepherd. He's doing it because of who he is and how much he loves us. So I had this picture hanging in my office. Anybody seen this picture before? It's now going on Facebook and YouTube too, hopefully. I got this picture from a very good friend when I took over as the senior pastor here. I love this picture. I'd actually been shown this picture by another friend who just at random mailed it to me, and I got it, and I'm like, oh, wow. I just sat there with tears in my eyes. Look at this picture. What What you see is a cute little adorable lamb, a little baby sheep, who's obviously made a wrong turn somewhere. And is by themselves, isolated and all alone. There's no other sheep around them. Vulnerable, dirty. Look how dirty that little sheep is. They're white. It seems this sheep's been stuck in the mud, struggling, and separated from the rest of his people. I'd say this sheep has probably made some bad decisions, as we talked about last night with the prodigal son. This sheep needs care. It's innocent. It's tender. And in the faded background, you see our good shepherd, don't you? The image that is to be Jesus. Running down. Look at the image in the background. Is Jesus lackadaisically walking? No. That is a person, a shepherd, a good shepherd, running towards that little lamb. Coming to save it because he loves it. No matter what, he wants to save that lamb. That running good shepherd doesn't care what that little lamb has done to get in the predicament. He just wants to get it out of the predicament that it's in. Jesus is also, as I looked at this picture too, he's in the wilderness. He's in the middle of everywhere. He also is vulnerable to other things around. What if something's stalking him from behind to attack him? He's willing to give up his life because he's running after that lost little lamb. Risking his life in the wilderness. We are that lamb. That's us. And what we have behind us at all times, in the distance, not too far off, is a running good shepherd to get us, to rescue us, to save us, to die if he needs to for us. And he did. Throwing caution to the wind because of his amazing love for that one sheep. One. No matter how together you think you have it, there's going to be days you're this sheep. There may be many days that you are this sheep. Be led and go back to that shepherd who's running for you, Jesus. He's not doing it because it's a job. He's doing it because of who he is and how much he loves us. He's trying to lead you. Let him. Let him lead you. Let him. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for being our good shepherd, the goodest, the best shepherd who loves us so much and intimately with all of our stuff. You don't care. You just love us. And you died for us, and you resurrected for us, and you want to have a relationship with us. I pray today, God, that we all understand that we just need to run to you and just let you guide and direct us each and every day and every moment of every day. We can't thank you enough for being that amazing shepherd. And I just pray that there's somebody in here today that needs to come running to you today that's a sheep gone astray, stuck in the mud, that they understand that you're coming after them. That you're running towards them. Caution to the wind for them. They are that important to you. I thank you so much for being here with us today. Help us apply this lesson to our life, God, and grow closer to you and know you more. And God, we are so grateful that you are the amazing and awesome good shepherd. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.